FM 104 is switched on and I'm joined by Andy McCarroll of Extravision. Hello.
Hi, Louise. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for chatting to us once again. So we've a lot of movie news happening this week. I suppose the one that I saw today was there's a new Matrix movie on the way.
Yeah, it's not going to be directed by any of the people who were previously involved, which is always a good sign. It's going to be directed by Drew Goddard, who done The Cabin in the Woods. He wrote things like The Martian and Cloverfield. Again, I think this is kind of one of these series we need to let go. Like, we've had, what, 4 films now, 5 animated series, a load of computer games. And the only thing we can say is we've had one good film out of all of that. So I'm not the biggest fan. I thought the last film was genuinely one of the worst films I've ever seen. So I'm definitely not looking forward to this. And especially considering how good the first one was and how, you know, how much every action film was kind of inspired after it. And there's a line in it there where they're saying a kind of a reimagining of story. So which kind of makes me think this is going to be one of those, you know, shared universe happening in the Matrix.
Okay.
And might necessarily have Keanu Reeves, Lawrence Fishburne and Carrie-Anne Moss or Hugo Weaving in it.
It kind of feels like that you need people like that. Like, it was a bit like when Terminator came back and you had some of the original characters just pop up in it. You kind of need them in the universe, don't you? When you're kind of tackling a film like that.
Yeah, because but something like that, like the iconography of it, like Carrie-Anne Moss and Keanu Reeves are essentially the Matrix. When you think of the Matrix, you think of that, you think of the clothes. And like you said, it's like making a Dirty Harry film without Clint Eastwood. Part of the appeal was them and the charisma they brought. They were so iconic. Now, it was a very an interesting concept, but part of the concept was how cool and iconic, let's face it. You know, I ended up buying a full leather jacket thinking I could pull it off. And I learned about 10 minutes after I left the house, I was definitely no Keanu Reeves, and the jacket never saw the light of day again. But are people still like, the last film didn't do great and they had all the cast with it. So yeah. I don't think people are going to be particularly interested in a Matrix film, which doesn't have, you know, the key components of the Matrix in Neo and Trinity.
Yeah, and it kind of looks like we won't have Keanu Reeves and kind of the original cast in it either.
Yeah, we won't have them and also the original directors, Larry and Andy Wachowski, who are now Lana and Lily Wachowski. They're not involved. They're not writing it either. So it's a world they created, not being written by them, not being directed by them, and possibly not starring the cast of it. So again, everything kind of coming out of it so far kind of has me rolling my eyes going, you're just trying to milk this. And obviously the head of Warner Brothers, David Zaslav, kind of infamously said, you know, we're not doing enough with the Lord of the Rings, the Matrix and the Harry Potter franchises. Like, you know, forgetting there was Lord of the Rings and Harry Potter films within the last 2 or 3 years with the spin-off. So he definitely is somebody who sees these things as this is just a way to milk as much money as we possibly can. And we saw it last year when he didn't release Batgirl because he thought, oh, it'd be, you know, I'll get more money from using this as a tax write-off. This guy has no passion for films whatsoever. This is just a means to an end for him to make money. And if it's something he can just throw on screen and milk a profit from, he's no artistic merit, I think, or an artistic interest in how these films turn out.
And that's a shame, really, to be fair, for something as big as what The Matrix was. But we also have a new Mufasa movie coming.
Yeah, again, in the things that nobody asked for. Barry Jenkins, who is going to be directing Mufasa, The Lion King, as it's called. It's basically people who were involved in the 2019 remake. Again, do we need this? The last film was just headache-inducing, I suppose, is the best way to put it. It took what was this, you know, classic pinnacle of animation. Like, this was the one where people kind of went, okay, this could be nominated for Best Picture. The animation was incredible. The voice acting was incredible. And then there was this soulless, you know, CGI, real life, quote unquote, remake of it. You know, you had Billy Eichner and Seth Rogen as Timon and Pumbaa. Apparently they're reprising their roles for this as well. I don't like this. There's none of those Disney live action ones that you could say, oh yeah, that's really changed it. The only one that I said, oh yeah, that was something that kind of did a bit different was Dumbo. And that died a death at the box office. Like, the last Lion King made an absolute fortune because much the same way with The Matrix, you know, you're taking the kids and you see, oh, The Lion King, I like The Lion King as a kid. I'll take my kids to see that. And then it's grand and you'll just completely forget about it as you're watching. I imagine this is going to be pretty much the same way. Do we need a Mufasa origin story? Didn't The Lion King 1994 kind of tell us all we needed to know about him?
And it does worry me that we don't know when to stop with movies. It's like, we don't need to keep going back to the same story all the time.
Yeah, 100%. And I've no doubt if this does anyway well, we're going to see, you know, the Scar origin of how he became Scar and just milking the whole thing dry. Like a couple of years ago, these would be the kind of things where it'd be like a straight-to-video Disney spin-off, like the Timon and Pumbaa had a couple of the adventures on that. But because there's so much money tied in these, obviously they're going to go to the cinemas, you're going to get the lunchbox, you're going to get the toys, and then lather, rinse, repeat. We're going to see the whole thing again in about 2 years.
Excellent. We also have...
I'm full of hope on the show this week.
Yeah, it's great. But the Fantastic Four, they've called their Silver Surfer. This is good news.
Yes, they have. This is good news. Julia Garner, who is in Ozark, anyone who's seen that, she is absolutely incredible at that. And I think she's going to be the kind of the next big thing in Hollywood in the next few years. She is an incredible actress. She's been cast as the Silver Surfer, who is traditionally in the comics called Nabandor. Obviously, the right people on the internet are completely up in arms about this because you can't have a woman play an intergalactic silver space surfer. So, yeah, read into that what you will. I think she is a phenomenal choice. And the more I see this film, the more I'm kind of, yeah, I have suffered from superhero fatigue. I think it kind of looked the same recently in the Marvel. This one looks like it's going to be set in the 60s. We've Pedro Pascal, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, and Eben Moss from The Bear. He's going to be playing The Thing. Javier Bardem is rumored to be playing Galactus in this. Aesthetically, it looks different. Like the poster art, setting it in the 60s, you know, gender swapping the Silver Surfer for, you know, a genuinely brilliant actress. I'm very interested in this. I'm a lot more interested in this than I have been for a superhero film now in a long time. So hopefully once the initial, you know, backlash dies down, people will see what a great casting choice it is.
So we do expect it to be quite a good movie then.
I am, but I'm just trying to be positive. I've been so negative on the show so far. So fingers crossed, I'm hoping that it will be. I think the cast is absolutely fantastic. I think the director, Matt Shatman, he done WandaVision, which was one of the more interesting Disney Plus shows. So there is, they've got the right people. If, you know, hopefully it pulls off something different because a lot of the Marvel movies, a lot of superhero movies kind of in general have been very samey, you know, 2-3 stars at most out of that. So this hopefully feels like it might be something a bit different, which is definitely the kick up the arse that these films need.
And then sticking with superheroes for a bit more, Supergirl.
Yes, Supergirl has been cast. We've got Millie Alcock, who was in House of the Dragon, again, another fantastic actress. And it's going to be directed by Craig Gillespie, who made... We're talking about the Disney ones, actually. Sorry, Cruella is one that I missed out on. Mm-hmm. Cruella was absolutely fantastic. Like, again, that's something that you're like, do we really need like an origin story for someone, you know, who was making a Code of Dalmatians? That film was absolutely fantastic. The soundtrack was brilliant. Again, though, you're kind of left in a weird place where why are we cheering for someone who we know is going to try and make a code out of dogs later in life? But, you know, for what it was, the film was quite good. But again, this is getting some sort of controversy here because Supergirl is apparently they're going to change her origin story because James Gunn, who is managing all of the DC universe now, wants it kind of be more of a darker version. This is someone who, the story of Supergirl, she's sent to Earth to essentially take care of Superman because she thinks Superman's been sent to Earth as a baby, but because her ship has been driven off course, by the time she gets there, Superman is fully grown as Superman. So she's kind of this person who's been, you know, tortured her whole life, and her whole mission in life was to raise this baby who was already raised. So she's got a bit of a chip on her shoulder at that standpoint. So that's a kind of an interesting way to take it in that respect as well. Mm-hmm. And I think we haven't had a good representation of Supergirl. I think it was the last one we saw was the 80s, the Helen Slater film, which we, you know, was always on ITV when I was growing up. I have a fondness for it, but I don't think anyone would say that's a fantastic film. But this looks like it could be different. I think this is the course correction that those films made. Like we had the Zack Snyder DC universe. Wasn't for me. I know it has its fans, but I think this is a good reset considering, you know, everything that we said about Fantastic Four and everything we said about previously is definitely something to take into consideration as well.
I also feel like with some movies, you kind of have to go in with fresh eyes and not be trying to compare it to something else, because we have had so many variations of many movies at this point and many stories and retellings of stories that if you kind of go in comparing it, then you're going to probably be let down.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's an issue that they have had with this, where they're kind of explaining plot points. And you see it with adaptations of books as well, where they're like, oh, well, you have to have read the book, or you should have read the comic because that explains this and this. It's like, no, you are making a film. I don't need to have seen anything else other than the film. You need to tell the story from start to finish on screen. I don't want to have homework coming away that, oh, you need to read this comic book and this book and this will all make sense then in the end. No, you have 2 hours to tell your story in that 2 hours.
100% agree on that one. And then to finish off, we've Roadhouse.
Yeah, one of my mysteries has been solved. The entire way through Roadhouse, I was thinking, Jake Gyllenhaal is still a good actor. He's still fairly successful. Why is he in a film with Conor McGregor? I think we've got the reason behind it now. Jake Gyllenhaal's production company has signed a deal with Amazon, who produced the Roadhouse movie. So his production company are going to get essentially 3 films out of the Amazon deal. So the light bulb has gone off. It's kind of making sense why he was put together with that. You know, great brand synergy, and my production company is going to make millions and millions now. Apparently, part of the terms of that deal is he's going to be involved in a Roadhouse sequel, which, spoiler for anyone seeing Roadhouse, Conor McGregor's character also survives. It's the most watched film on Amazon Prime, apparently. So it makes sense for them, again, a kind of a slam dunk for them to make a sequel to that film. I wasn't a huge fan of that. I thought it was a bit of a mess. I'm a huge fan of the original, which was also a mess, but for far more entertaining reasons. So the mystery of why Gyllenhaal is doing movies with Conor McGregor has been solved. In like most mysteries in Hollywood, the mystery was because of money, lots and lots of money.
That always helps.
Yeah, absolutely. To be fair, the best reason of all, and certainly one I would sell my soul willingly for a couple of $100 million if Amazon want me to star or see Conor McGregor beat the Christ out of me on film.
We'll get them to give you a call.
Have your people talk to my people.
This is it, exactly. Andy McCarroll of Extravision, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Cheers. Thanks, Louis.